Bob McKenzie in studio.
We got Smart Dutchie tonight. He's got the goggles on. He's all set. Man.
Well, listen, if you can't be smart, look smart. But no, at the age of 51, Bob, I had, for years, I was like, no, I'm not. Because I had glasses a long time ago. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I really can't see what that says.
You stole those off Kyle Dubas, I think.
Well, listen.
Yeah, Dubas has kind of cornered that market, huh?
You know what? What a smart young man. How impressive is he? My son, when he was at the Sioux, Kyle was the stick boy up there. And they used to talk, absolutely, him and Tyler. And they would talk about particular players. And they would talk about, because I think the NHL at that point in time had a, I don't know what video game they were playing, but you could have the general manager mode. Right. And he literally became one through his hard work and his toil. I'm a huge fan of Kyle Dubas. I like the way that he just...
Okay, oh, can we just slow down here? Look at what we've talked music, now we've talked about the Sioux, now we're on about Kyle Dubas. Yeah,
what do you want?
Is the pace too fast for you? Yes, you're all over the map.
But dude, I don't got the rudder.
I'm trying to get this thing back onto the rails here.
There's no governor here when Dutchie's...
No, I'm
sitting here listening. I'm like, what the hell are we talking about? If we let you would have just gone... Yeah, well, we'll get to that a little bit later. We haven't had you on since the Nylander stuff.
The Darren Detition show.
It's unbelievable.
Might be.
Whatever.
What do you make of the whole scene, Bob?
Well, you're going to have to come up with a better question than that.
Yeah, see?
A more specific question.
Okay, let me ask you
the whole
you
scene. It's good. It's great that he signed.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think the Leafs are happy? Do you think
the Leafs are very happy.
They're happy.
Nylander's very happy. Or somewhere deep down, both of them are a little bit unhappy.
Nylander can be
Nylander,
unhappy.
Nylander thought he was an $8 million, $8.5 million player, but he likes the deal he got. He's happy. The Leafs wanted to do this thing much closer to six, but they're happy to do it for what amounts to almost seven, and they've got, you know, a cap hit under seven in the out years, so they're good to go.
All right. Good stuff. What are you hearing on when Nylander's going to be back in the lineup? Thursday night,
I'm going to guess Saturday.
Yeah,
I guess there's an outside chance Thursday, but I would say more likely Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with this kid, it's like you just put all that money in his jeans. It's like you don't want to pull a groin.
Well, did you see someone ask Babcock if he should get a conditioning stint down in the American Hockey League? And Babcock just ghosted the guy. He didn't even give him an answer.
He gave it the old...
He was so rattled.
Over here.
Yeah, he literally was like, I'm not even going to acknowledge that question. Somebody else asked me anything else.
I actually think it's a legit question.
It's not that outrageous. They don't do it in the NHL. Nah, oh, you've talked about it.
But
they don't do it.
I'm not going to criticize
a media guy.
Why would you want to sign this guy to that kind of bread, send him down to the Apple? No. He's going to the A, and you're going to have some donkey taking runs at him?
No. I'm not going to criticize a media guy for asking a question, because I've probably asked some dumb questions in my life. And it's not really a dumb question, but it would be a foregone conclusion what the answer is. No.
He's not going down there.
Well, listen, his brother's in Rochester. He can experience enough. Do you think that influenced his negotiation, by the way, that his brother's professional career at the National Hockey League level hasn't gone as anticipated?
He's
eaten burgers and bus fumes, and he's like, I'm going to hold out and get the money I believe that I deserve
a
business.
He's just wired to say, I'm worth this much and I want to wait that long.
And it worked. And it worked. Hey, good for him. He missed 27 games.
Speaking of Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin, we've had these conversations. I haven't watched him play every night, but I think he looks pretty good. Looks pretty comfortable to me.
He's had some.
Is this what you expected, or did you think he'd be better?
Yeah, I think it's more or less what I expected. You know, I know O was on SportsCenter saying you maybe would like a little more, you know.
No, not like. I just thought I would see a little more wow.
Like something like, wow. Yeah.
Right.
And that it's the nature of the position. But I think he's really played well. And I think early on, I think there was sort of a sorting out process in terms of his ice time. There was a stretch there where he wasn't playing a lot. And then all of a sudden they started to play him more. And it was a game against Minnesota, and he either got the tying goal and assisted on the winner, or assisted on the tying goal and got the winner. I can't remember. It was a few weeks ago. But I think he's been really good, and I think he's only going to get better. And there have been a few wow moments, but he'll be fantastic.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Is that not just a byproduct of his position, too?
I think so.
I can't remember. We were talking about what's the best The last one, I remember you talking about him, and then when I saw him play with Boston when Charlie McAvoy came in, I was like, that's wow. Because I was like, man, this guy is really... It's, you don't see too many defensemen. That
McAvoy, Werenski, were both kind of had some wow factor to them. Aaron Ekblad, when he came in.
Yeah, he won a Calder at 18.
And he was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and there's still a long way to go, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the first time... A lot of people don't know how, I want to say, how green he is, but... I mean, the first time he was ever on NHL ice was this year. He's only ever played a little bit of hockey on North American ice, very limited, you know, World Juniors, but not an awful lot of time spent on a North American rink. And you know, so I think it's a little different for a kid from Sweden sometimes, you know. So, like, you know, all these other kids in North America, they grow up, they know the culture, they understand just the whole fanfare and the business and the industry of hockey. That comes as a bit of a culture shock to a kid like Rasmus Dahlin. He's as green as the grass in a lot of ways that way. And as he does a tour of the league, and you probably know, oh, it's the first time around.
You're like, oh, there's that guy I watched. There's this arena.
How do you get to the dressing room, and where are we going here, and all that stuff. It won't take him long to get uber comfortable.
Is this where your cell phone blows up, Bobby, when there's an expansion team and somebody wants their name floated out there as assistant GM? Hey, remember that time I did you that favor? Kind of float my name out there.
No, I don't do that.
That's the way it works? Is that journal, capital J journalism, as they call it?
No, it's called people that are like, I've had people do it to me. I'm like, what the hell do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Oh, float a name. Do the same thing. Float a name.
Take this opportunity and float somebody out.
Float a name out for Seattle?
Yeah.
If I'm the Seattle whatever they are, I go right to Kelly McCrimmon because he's been through this recently. And
I like it. That's a good thought process.
And obviously, look at the success the Vegas Golden Knights had. So 100%. I'm like, I'll pay you a boatload to do it again.
Yep.
Very simple. That's my number one guy.
I like it.
That makes sense. Good.
Kenny Holland is a guy whose name is going to get mentioned a lot because the end is closer, you know, in Detroit. And there's people speculate the Yzerman looming in the shadows. And Kenny's got, I think, 2 years left this year and next year on his deal.
And you know what's crazy? This is, and I mean, it's going to have no bearing on him being hired, but I think Kenny played out there at one point in time, didn't he?
I can't remember.
Dude, he's
from out west.
He is, absolutely. And I think he might have actually played
his off-season homes. His off-season home's in Kelowna, and so it's not very far away.
No, it's just enough, just close enough
so
to get raised
money. So that name will get a lot of traction, and as will Kelly McCrimmon for the obvious reason. And then as O said, then after that you can open it wide open to tons of people. You know, Dave Tippett has been involved with the team. He said all along he didn't had no interest in coaching it. I read somebody today, and I can't remember whether it was legit or not, just saying that he didn't say no to coaching the most recent time, whether he'd be involved on management or coaching side. But the odds are that if they hired this guy to shepherd them through this incubation period, he's going to have some role on the team, and you can take your pick as to what it might end up being.
Right. What I would do is I would look at the Toronto model, and I would just go right up to Chris Pronger and say, do you want to be the president? And blah, 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 and you pick the GM, and then you run everything, because that's just the model I would look at and say, this guy came in here, he's been around the game, he's been on the executive side for a bit, he's in the league, so you be the president, and then you pick whoever you want.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's like Shanahan, when he got here, he took over a mess. This isn't going to be a mess, but the expectations are going to be out of whack because of what happened.
But you want a guy
to
take over and not be a mess.
It'll be interesting to see what structure they use, because the Todd Lewicki, who was formerly CEO of the NFL, not to be confused with Tim Lewicki, who used to be involved with the Kings and the Leafs, and the man who brought Brendan Shanahan to Toronto. By the way, and now he heads up the arena group, Oakview, the Oakview group that's in charge of the arena project. That's Tim Lewicki's company, and his brother Todd, who's been with, I believe, NFL, PGA, a whole bunch, is the president of the organization. I think to what O's talking about, to hire a president of hockey operations that would report to that president. Whether they do that or not, it'd be curious to see.
Bob McKenzie in studio. So Seattle, they're still a few years away from joining the league, but I read today, same expansion rules as Vegas.
Exactly the same.
I mean,
150 million more, you get the same rules.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's not the same bread, though.
No, 650.
Yeah.
500 for, was it five? Yeah, 500.
Yeah, it was five
500
for Vegas.
For Vegas, 650 for Seattle.
What's the explanation there? How did it go up 150
Because they can.
Million?
Price of doing
yeah,
business.
I guess if you're willing yeah. to pay.
You know why that dog does that to itself? Because it can.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what, I mean, Bettman is trying to convince people that this is it, that they're not going to expand anymore. Do you actually believe that, or is Houston
yeah,
in the crosshairs?
I think foreseeable future, yes. Houston's a real good market, and maybe it'll end up potential relocation market. Maybe at some point in time down the road, they would consider expansion, but I don't think so. I think the next, if there's ever going to be the next major expansion, it's what Bill Daly loosely alluded to earlier this year when he talked about, yeah, you know what? At some point, I could see us having team a European division or teams in Europe.
I mean, that
make
sounds...
The game, make the game truly global and,
yeah.
you know, but it's not, I mean, it's not on the drawing board, but it's... Certainly out there, and it's a reason
so
why
what would they do? They'd
it's a reason why the NHL
KHL.
Has as many. No, it wouldn't
they'd
be that.
Take a few,
you know what?
Take a few
I could
K
see just
teams,
being four,
few Swedish elite league teams.
Four, yeah, find out which four cities or six cities and has ownership and arena and the three pillars that Bettman talked about today, and find a way to make the whole European North American dynamic work. How would you work scheduling? There's a million things
right.
yeah.
to contemplate. So
they've been talking
but it's,
about
as
that.
I say, it's yeah. not even on the drawing board, but it's in the air as something that would be an admirable goal down the road to
yeah,
be
yeah. I mean that sounds idealistic, and I can understand that. But like when you think of hockey in Europe, you think of the Scandinavian markets, mm-hmm. you think of Switzerland, you think of Germany. The money is in London.
Well, yeah,
but they never go there.
Yeah, well.
Can they get there?
They've been to London. The NHL has had many games in London, but not recently.
Right.
What they seem to be honing in on is, you know, so, you know, if you've got Patrick Laine on the Winnipeg Jets, then let's get them to Helsinki. Mm-hmm. And you yeah. always line it up so that the star player, one of the star players on that North American team, has a built-in audience in that area. But, yeah, in the old days, you know, they used to have the French's Mustard Cup in London. And NHL teams would go over yeah. in the preseason and play a tournament over there.
Did they sell tickets? I don't
yeah,
remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it was very popular. And,
yeah.
And that. So you've got cities like Prague and you got, you know, London and all the European capitals, really.
Well, we were talking about the scheduling earlier, and I don't remember when it stopped and... For all I know, maybe it's happened in the past few years, but forever, the Leafs and the Sabres would play back-to-back, Friday night in Buffalo, Saturday night in Toronto, and they're not doing it anymore. I know it's a complicated process. The computer spits it out yep. based on building availability and all that. My sense would be, though, that maybe the league said, we got to stop with that. Because by the second game, around 10 minutes into the first period, Rob Ray was fighting Ty Domi for the fourth time.
I think everybody likes that. But, yeah. but
why not do it?
I don't know. Like you say, it's just Steve Hatsy Petros, who puts the schedule together for the National Hockey League, has enough problems. But, I mean, last year was the weirdest thing ever. They didn't play. I want to say that they didn't play the Sabres until real late in yeah. the year, and then they played them like five times in the final 3.5
it was awful.
Weeks of
yeah.
the season.
They did.
We did. Four.
It was really bad because Buffalo was
really bad.
Was dead. Yeah. You know, Buffalo was dead in the water, and so the games were like, ooh, boy. And so it's got a little more juice tonight because Buffalo's been playing well. I say that they've lost 3 in a row, which is just the natural byproduct of what happens after you win 10 in a row, and 7 of the 10 games went to shootout or overtime.
Right.
Which is to say, listen, I'll give Buffalo full credit for being a much more competitive team. They've taken a step. I think they're going to continue on their upward trajectory. But the reality is the 10-game winning streak, there was a huge amount of luck involved.
I heard that, well, I believe 9 of the 10 victories were decided by one goal.
Yeah, and 7 like, shootout or yeah. overtime.
Who cares?
Exactly.
You fire one of those together, you're getting in the playoffs.
No, for sure. I just don't. We were talking about the strength of Buffalo's schedule, and when you look at where they sit in terms of the standings, yeah, I'm not really buying it.
They got an 8-point buffer, though, right now.
No, and they've played well. And I hope they do make the postseason, too, but I don't think they're as good as their record indicates. They are predominantly a one-line team, but it works for them so far.
Well, I think
far.
They'll contend for a playoff spot. I just don't know that they're necessarily
guaranteed. Will Boston get it healthy enough to take a run at that third hole?
And see, McAvoy was back skating in practice today, which is a good sign. Char and Bergeron out, but they were hanging in there for a while.
They still win games.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. I saw their blue line the other night, and I was like, "Where is everybody?" Yeah, Greslick, and I'm like, "Where's like that was about?"
There's some good young players.
Oh, they do. You know what? That's one thing that the Bruins they've drafted extremely well.
Some people were goofing on the Oilers last night. Like McDavid was sick; he couldn't play. Everyone's looking at that roster, and they're like, "Man, it is something else when you take 97 out of the lineup." And it happened here in Toronto when Matthews was out, but they kept rolling, they kept winning. And it's a one-off. He's sick. He's going to be back whenever they play next. But, man, that's a big hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it really
like when
is.
He comes out, you really realize they don't have a ton of depth there. They just don't.
Yeah. And the way they're playing right now, they're obviously playing to win 1-0 or 2-1. And McDavid's used good for...
Two goals.
Two breakaways for creating, at least.
For creating, in the new environment, creating for at least one goal a night. Which some nights is all they're going to need with Hitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
It's all they're going to get.
And then not there.
And on some nights, that's all they're going to get with that roster.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. Leafs Sabres on TSN 4 tonight. Good seeing you, Bob. We'll catch you on the panel.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider.